34 minutes past the hour. This is the Craig Folly Show on 101.9 WDET. Greetings on this Thursday. I'm very glad that you could be with me today. We've got something really important to talk about. Many of us are in a situation where we're caring for an elderly relative or know somebody who's maybe living alone at this point in time, and 1 in 20 of those older adults in the United States, according to a new study, will be the victim of financial exploitation this year. Here to talk about the research that's being done on this and why it happens is Dr. Peter Lichtenberg, who is the director of the Institute of Gerontology here at Wayne State University. It's a pleasure to have you here, sir. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Craig.
And I think it's important. This is part of a study that you did called Safeguarding the Golden Generation, and there's going to be a panel discussion that's going to be taking place on September 30th from 6:30 to 9:30. At the Berman Center for the Performing Arts in West Bloomfield, also a film as well. I guess what we need to talk about is what constitutes financial exploitation.
Yeah, there's several things. Thefts and scams are the most common and most serious financial exploitation, but so is financial entitlement by adult children or friends or people who are living in their financial coercion, and undue influence is another area. So those kinds of things where an older adult is not freely making a gift of their money or making their money available or under circumstances that they understand what the gift is for.
Okay, let's talk about financial coercion for just a second, because I think this happens a lot more than people realize.
Yes, I agree.
This is a family member maybe forcing an elderly relative to dip into pensions, whatever.
Yes, it's the biggest type of financial exploitation is family members. Strangers is unfortunately also a growing area. But with this financial coercion or financial entitlement, what's happening is that the relative of the older adult simply feels that they are entitled to this money, almost as if, well, I'm going to get it from my parents when they die anyway, so I should be able to have access now.
And we've seen this in show up in various ways. I mean, and people, is there a situation sometimes where some of these younger relatives don't really realize that what they're doing is wrong?
Very rarely. I think sometimes they are a little bit confused. They think maybe they are using their parents' money in ways that their parents would have approved of, that kind of thing. But for the most part, it's very seductive to have access to a lot of cash. And these folks who are struggling themselves, the adult children, just feel entitled to the money.
Well, let's go back to the issue of scams here for just a second, because we hear about this a lot, too. Elderly people falling victim to phone scams, credit card scams. You know, I've even had somebody, I had one of my relatives once call me up about an email they got that said that I was stuck in London with no money, and you need to wire me money real quick so I can get back to the United States. And of course, this relative said, well, I didn't realize you were in London. I said, I'm not in London.
Yeah,
that's a scam that's been going around for a long time, but they feel that I've got to help somebody in the family. I'm going to rush out and take care of this. Money just goes away.
It's a lot of great sophisticated scams. They really have good information about the person that they're pretending to be when they're asking for money. And also what happens is the older adults who are both the most psychologically vulnerable and the most financially vulnerable, it's almost the same as problems in gambling. These are folks that think, well, it's worth to take this chance. I'm going to send this $5,000 and get this $100,000 gift in return.
Yeah, you know, we hear about that, and just, you know, you get those emails, they automatically get sent to your spam email thing. But I'm wondering how much the technology sort of plays a role in people's willingness to believe that these things are real.
Yes, it does. It plays a huge role because these scams can be so personalized. The stationery used can look so authentic. And if people aren't technologically savvy, it really sounds like it's a government document.
Well, and even emails that come in regard these, because they have your email address. Well, nobody else would have my email address. They don't realize that these things are sold off dozens of times before you even, you know, finish setting up your account.
Exactly. By far, though, the face-to-face kinds of thefts and scams are even more prevalent. And those can be on the investment scam side, with very well-educated people falling prey to those, to the someone's driving around offering too good of a deal to fix your gutters and those kinds of things, take the money and never come back and do the job.
Yeah, I've heard a number of stories about that. Is there something about the elderly population, though, that people see them as being easy victims?
Yeah, they see
and
them.
It's not a physical strength issue, is it? I mean, is it something else?
No, it's not. There's a few things that people see. First of all, older adults are more or less available, so they're home. Second of all, a lot of them have resources. It's the greatest wealth transfer in our history going on right now. So older adults who have good retirement accounts, good pensions, and so forth are out there. And third of all, older adults are vulnerable psychologically. They tend to be more trusting. That tends to the rose-colored glasses and optimism tend to keep older adults from perhaps seeing the dangers of a new friendship, new relationship with a workman.
My guest right now is Dr. Peter Lichtenberg, director of the Institute of Gerontology at Wayne State University. We're talking about how one out of every 20 older adults will be a victim of financial exploitation this year. Oftentimes, you can lose homes. I mean, it could be pretty devastating to somebody what can happen here. You have created something, though, in an effort to prevent a lot of these things from happening. It's called the Lichtenberg Financial Decision-Making Rating Scale.
Yes.
This scale, from what I understand, sort of measures the vulnerability level of somebody.
Yeah, it does two things. I think that overprotection can be equally problematic. We want to promote autonomy wherever possible. So this really gets at what are the reasons and what are the awarenesses of the choice that an older adult might be making to gift money or to change their will or take out a second mortgage or what have you. On the other hand, it takes those financial exploitation risk factors like psychological vulnerability, lack of awareness of finances, dependency of finances by others, and undue influence. So it really puts all this together. I've tried to integrate these two fields, financial exploitation on one side, financial capacity on the other, under one roof. And it's focused on the actual decision that's being made. So we're really kind of digging deeper. Besides the choice, what reason is a person using? Do they appreciate how this will impact them or potentially impact them and others? And how would they express that understanding of it?
So give me an idea of how you then rate the information that you get here. I mean, do you sit there and say, all right, this is a person that should no longer be in control of their own finances? I mean, if you find that out.
Yes, that's right.
What do you do with that information?
What you do with that information depends how the person would come to me. And it's interesting this week, some of the federal authorities have changed some of the banking regulations where banks now can release non-public personal information to Adult Protective Services, police, so forth, about situations that are serious. So a lot of times I get these cases in a legal venue, a probate matter, or so forth. And yes, I am ultimately making a decision based on not only the scale but other factors as well about whether this choice had integrity and it's an authentic one with all of the appreciation, awareness, and understanding that's needed.
My guest once again, Dr. Peter Lichtenberg of the Institute of Gerontology here at Wayne State University, coming up on September 30th from 6:30 to 9:30 at the Berman Center for the Performing Arts. Dr. Lichtenberg will be discussing his findings as part of the Safeguarding the Golden Generation panel and movie preview that's going to be taking place there. Talk a little bit about the interest in this and how many questions you get about this. Is it something that most people are aware of that's a problem?
People are really becoming aware of this. The media coverage of this is pretty intense. I think that we see a lot of print and radio media about financial exploitation, these wild stories of people losing, you know, vast amounts of money. So people have been aware of it, but they really have, and people have kind of identified some general risk factors. But there's been a lack of kind of specific tools to move in and make an assessment, make a decision.
And it's always a difficult conversation, though, I'm guessing, for people to have with their relatives. If there is a situation where you're worried about them, you don't want to be seen as somebody that's trying to strip away their independence.
Absolutely. You cannot barge in and demand, turn over the checkbook. You really have to kind of ask sort of gently, you know, I've been learning about this these scams, these thefts, this financial matters that happen with older adults. I'm curious if you've heard anything about it. I'm curious if what plans that you might have made for safeguarding yourself, and can we think about problem solving together.
Well, I've got a caller on the line who wants to chat about this. It's Sally in Allen Park who joins us right now. Sally, you're on with Dr. Peter Lichtenberg.
Hi, how are you today?
We're good, thank you.
Well, I work in a local municipal office, and I get many residents, most of them older, elderly, that come in with this letter that they've received in the mail, and it's informing them that they need to get a copy of their deed or their title, and that if you just send these people like an 80-some-odd-dollar check, that they'll get it for you and they'll take care of it. And it's from some out-of-state company that has nothing to do with any of the county register of deeds or any local government. And we get people coming in saying, oh, I sent them the money and they never sent me anything. What should I do? What should I do? Or we get people coming in saying, what is this? Is this, what is this from? And until you like read the tiny print on the back, it says, we have nothing to do with your local government. We have nothing to do with your register of deeds. You know, it like, it says on there, but it's such fine print and it looks so official that people are just sending their money out. And I just kind of wanted to give people a heads up because these letters have been coming up a lot recently, and
it sounds
like a public forum to let you guys know like this is happening like currently.
Well, Sally, we appreciate the call and thanks for bringing it to our attention. I mean, yeah, this is exactly what you're talking about, something that looks really official.
Yes, and you notice that there's kind of these two camps. This is the sort of the low yield camp, $80 from thousands of people. That's a
way
to, right, as opposed to the high yield camp investing a lot of time and energy in one person and taking away $750,000 based on getting them to take out another loan or something like that. So there's these two sort of ways of scams and thefts going on.
You know, I'm looking at this study that, you know, one out of every 20, and I'm wondering if that sort of underreports in many instances what's happening, because it seems that once people are the victims of this, they may be somewhat embarrassed to admit that they got taken in by a scam.
I agree with that. I think it does underreport it. Not only are they embarrassed to admit it, but the people who perhaps are the most vulnerable, those with neurocognitive disorders and memory problems and so forth, they're really not going to be the ones answering those surveys. And so we have that group, too, that really is not getting asked the questions. One study looked at scams or thefts or financial exploitation since age 60, and over 10% reported, yes, I've been a victim.
Wow. That's a huge number.
It's a huge number.
So obviously the education is the best way to combat this, I'm guessing, but it's a new group of people. It's a continuous process.
And I think frontline providers, you know, we have a problem in some of the professions with people getting taken advantage of by their professionals, but we also have tons of frontline providers who could really prevent the scam or the theft from happening, and getting them educated and using some tools that really get at the issues, I think would be useful.
Well, as far as this event that's happening on the 30th, from 6:30 to 9:30, again at the Berman Center for the Performing Arts, that's at 6600 West Maple in West Bloomfield. From your perspective, who should be at this thing?
You know, anybody concerned with this issue should be in this thing. I think it's going to be a terrific film that they show. This woman who's experienced this is going to lead the panel discussion. I just think it'll be very revealing and eye-opening about the multitude of ways that older adults are being targeted and can be victims in our community.
And so this is going to be a good resource for them. And will you be telling people how to use the scale?
Not yet. We're still doing some, you know, us academics, we've got to do some more validation study. We've done some good reliability study, but we'll describe the general factors.
So people then could take this up on their own with maybe a relative that they have that's in a situation to get a better sense as to how well-equipped they are to handle this type of a situation.
We're creating a screening scale to go with the longer one that professionals will use, and the screening scale, I think, will eventually become available to people themselves, yes.
All right, one more call here. Laura is in Detroit, wants to chime in. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
You're up?
Okay, I'm just calling because I get bills from AARP, and they say that, you know, it's that my bill is due. It'll say on the front of the envelope, get reinstated now, that sort of thing. But I'm actually paid up till October 2014. And I noticed they did this at this time last year. And I see, and when I call in, they say, oh, no, you're all paid up, but would you like to renew for a couple more years out? And I feel like they are actually preying on old people. I'm sorry, like me, the elderly, by making them alarmed that they may have let their
membership lapse.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, that's the old magazine subscription trap. So you subscribe to a magazine, and about 8 months in for your year subscription, they start sending you the renewal notices. You're not going to get the magazine much longer, so you renew early, and they keep doing it. So then the next thing you know, you're subscribed for like the next 8 years. I think I got Better Homes and Gardens at my house for like 10 years. I don't know why, but it just kept re-upping. It's the same kind of thing. That is a problem. And if ARP is doing something like that,
yeah, it's a huge problem, and you really can see where sort of effective media and advertising really is very similar to kind of the same types of messages and methods that scammers use.
Well, and I got suckered into it, too. I was like, oh, my wife likes this magazine. I better renew. Well, little did I know, we still had 8 months left on the thing. All right. Well, again, this is happening on the 30th, and this is going to be a good event. 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Berman Center for the Performing Arts, Safeguarding the Golden Generation. My guest, Dr. Peter Lichtenberg, will be one of the panelists there, director of the Institute of Gerontology here at Wayne State University. We appreciate your time, sir. Thank you very much.
Thanks for shedding light on this issue, right, Craig.
This is the Craig Folly Show on 101.9 WDET. Bankole Thompson joins me in just a moment.